Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps. That they do not exist, so who wants to work for the IRS, just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you adults in something that cares who will let us get away with it.
Peace, what's up y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve Coagula.
Solve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Bible prophecy fulfilled.
Snakes in the grass.
In son of position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb.
I got ya
right where I want ya. Like a raw line in the field, I stalked ya. Creeped up on ya, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on ya. Once I get ya, you'll be a goal.
Can you hear me now?
Just all part of the game.
Ain't this thing for so long now, it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow where we're Satan's.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
We'll be right back. Welcome to Doug in Exile. Geraldo Rivera, my favorite failed journalist, has opposed Trump, and now he's coming out in support of him. This video is going to feature Geraldo Rivera, a good take, and then a Geraldo Rivera bad take, and then Victor Davis Hanson with the best take.
Trump's team is countering, calling it, quote, the indictment of a failed nation.
This is about Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Trump said this is a true failure of this nation, and Geraldo goes off on Alvin Bragg.
And instead he diverts the resources to go after Donald Trump on an eight-year-old incident that was already passed over by the federal prosecutors and Cy Vance, who preceded Alvin Bragg in the DA's office. They checked this stuff out, and they decided not to go forward. So to go forward on the Stormy Daniels payoff, I think, to me, is really low down and dirty local politics.
This does breach into what is a state right that goes on inside of Manhattan. versus a public national candidate like Trump is that we tend to separate the states from the federal rights, and here they're crossing over. Here's the great Peter Ducey hammering Biden on it.
Mr. President, do you think that the charges against Trump are politically motivated?
I have no comment.
Biden has no comment on Trump. He probably forgot who he is.
And now what do? They want to perp walk the former president of the United States.
Geraldo confirms that this is all just Democrat marketing. This is not justice.
But what I am sure, Steve, is that this is unfair, that this is a lame case brought by a politically motivated district attorney, in my view. It will not end well, regardless of what the outcome is. Trump goes to jail. Can you imagine on charges like this that the American people, generally speaking, have no faith in? I think it really is unseemly and unfortunate. And I think that when he says that it's election interference and political persecution, that resonates to me and many others.
This is the magic of this disastrous error by Alvin Bragg, is it even united Geraldo to Trump. It's vacuuming up support for Trump. Rhinos agree that this is political. Middle Republicans, squishy middle voters, are rallying to Trump because they sense something is wrong with the country. And that's what this election could very well be about. Biden, which is what's wrong with the country, or an avatar of what's wrong with the country, versus Trump, who is like an unhinged cage fighter. And America's going to start seeing the need for this guy. But here's Geraldo on Twitter coming up with a solution that is the worst idea, career-ending idea I could think of. Here's Geraldo. Biden should pardon Trump in exchange for Trump pledging he will not seek re-election. You do not reward what you don't want repeated. You can't give them that victory. Trump can't do that really bad idea, he continues. Pardon only applies to federal judges. New York, Georgia, and other state charges could still be brought, but would be discouraged. It would change the national conversation, heal the divide. This is wrong. It will increase the divide because Democrats will know this is how you do politics. This is how you take out any candidate you want. And heal the divide. Trump didn't start the divide. This was a divide that was started, assaulted by the Democrats, by Alvin Bragg overstepping his district attorney Manhattan state rights. He goes after a political opponent just after he announces that he's running for president. Now here's Victor Hansen with some wisdom on the subject. Victor Davis Hansen, the left is saying to America, we are so morally superior to you that we can and must employ any means necessary to achieve our unpopular political ends. But you cannot respond in kind or deter us by mimicking our own tactics, because should both parties do so, the resulting disorder would undermine the republic, and that's something you won't dare do. That is a great challenge. What Victor Davis Hanson is saying is it's time to cut off the gloves and it's time to get in the ring and have Trump be our champion. We've had this argument before about populism is not constitutional conservatism. Populism says if a leftist does it to you, you do it back to them. Not because revenge is good. Revenge is never good. But because it's the only way that they will change the way that they break the rules is if you fight them back in kind. You've heard like Texas lawyers, Texas district attorneys could now go after Biden and his crime family, and they should, just over this indictment alone. If you don't hit them back, they will not learn, and they won't stop doing it just by us observing the proper rules of the Constitution. They believe the Constitution only works one way. That is for them and against you. That's not a principle. If you agree, give us a thumbs up. Let me know, even if you disagree, in the comments below. I'm Doug in Exile.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Happy Monday. So here's a story from over the weekend. At about 5 a.m. on Saturday morning in Manhattan, a parking garage attendant called Musa Diara noticed a man peering into parked cars looking for things to steal. Now, that's a familiar scene in New York City. Alvin Bragg, who is the local Soros-funded DA, has decided that prosecuting car burglaries is a form of white supremacy. As a result, not surprisingly, car burglaries have risen quite a bit. Musa Diara, the attendant, is not white, but apparently he's sick of watching other people get robbed, so he told the man to get out, leave the garage. In response, the man pulled out a handgun and fired four times. He hit Diara in the head and the stomach. It was a nightmare. But somehow, Musa Diara had the presence of mind to wrestle the gun from the man and then fire back before the man could shoot him or anyone else. By the time police arrived, both men were lying on the sidewalk bleeding. Now, what do you think happened next? In a sane, self-respecting society, Musa Diara would have received a medal, if not a ticker tape parade. But in the city of New York, he was arrested and charged with attempted murder and illegal possession of a gun, the same gun that had been used to shoot him. Diara woke up in Bellevue Hospital shackled to his bed. The New York Post ran this picture. It's of him sobbing. "I got bullets in me, and I'm chained to a hospital bed," he said, "but I didn't do anything wrong." You can imagine his confusion. This was not the country he expected. And in fact, Musa Diara is exactly the kind of person you want more of in your country. He's 57 years old, and he's still working harder than most young people do. In fact, when New York shut down during COVID, as lawyers and nonprofit executives hid in their apartments, living on DoorDash and stockpiling surgical masks from Amazon, Diara went to work every day, like Americans used to. The man who shot him, by contrast, does not have a history of going to work every day. His name is Charles Rohde. We checked. He's got a rap sheet of nearly a dozen serious crimes that go back more than 20 years. And yet, as of Saturday at 5 a.m., he was not in jail. He was walking around New York with a gun looking for more things to steal. In the end, Alvin Bragg caved to public outrage, which was considerable, and dropped the charges against Musa Diara. But he had already made the point very clear to everyone. In our new Soros-inspired justice system, decent people are the criminals, while the criminals are now a protected class. Here's how it works. The people in charge unleash chaos in our cities, but if you dare to protect yourself or your family from that chaos, you wind up in handcuffs. What is this? Well, the name of this system of governance is anarcho-tyranny. You get state-sponsored anarchy accompanied by political tyranny. Since taking office, Bragg has done his best to increase the anarchy. He's increased the number of felony charges his office drops by nearly 40%. That includes almost half of all drunk driving charges. It's no longer really a crime to drive drunk in New York City. That's the anarchy part. But for those who step outside the political lines, it is tyranny. You'll remember the middle-aged bodega clerk called Jose Alba from the Dominican Republic. Bragg sent him to Rikers Island, one of the worst prisons in the world, for daring to defend himself against a lunatic who was trying to murder him. So now this very same system, the system that imprisoned Jose Alba and chained Musa Diara to his hospital bed, this Soros-inspired and backed system, is putting Joe Biden's main political opponent in the upcoming presidential race on trial for a crime that's not actually a crime. This is the political tyranny part of anarcho-tyranny. So for our existing legal system, this appears to be a point of no return. And you would think the media would point that out. Even if they support it, this is a big change from the way the country has run for hundreds of years. But no, because they're too dumb, too shallow, and above all, too self-interested. So Trump's upcoming arraignment tomorrow isn't a turning point in our country's legal system. It's yet another chance to follow Trump around in the hope that ratings will return. This was CNN All Day Today.
We are, I'm being told right now, that is Donald Trump leaving Mar-a-Lago on his way to catch his plane that will leave to New York, where he'll arrive later this afternoon. We're watching really history right now unfold on your screen. Donald Trump en route to the airport and a court date in New York, becoming the first ever former president to face a criminal indictment.
This is a historic moment.
We just watched the former president of the United States, or a former president of the United States, leave his home, headed to New York to be arraigned in court.
We're watching on our screen as Trump's motorcade has now arrived on the tarmac at Palm Beach International Airport.
Heading up in the air and heading back to his home state of New York, certainly not the kind of homecoming that he had ever imagined when he went back from Florida to New York, but he is heading back on a historic flight. Again, not necessarily a part of history that Donald Trump or any former president would want to make. One of the things that we have learned is to not put everything at an 11, not make everything the biggest deal. This is a big deal.
Oh, this is a big deal. We get to talk over live pictures, what we were trained to do in local news. Well, it is a big deal, actually. It's a very, very big deal. But the guardrails are gone. No one in the media seems to be pointing out that this is a huge change in our entire legal system. And no one in the Democratic Party in Washington, even those who are a little bit concerned about where this might be heading, dare say anything at all, because Alvin Bragg is, of course, a holy person, and no one wants to speak out against the crowd on Twitter. So this is all happening in slow motion, and of course we're getting the dumbest possible lectures, as always, from cable news. We've learned not to put everything at 11. We're not making everything the biggest deal. It's hilarious. And of course, they can't wait to make it the biggest deal on the shallowest possible level, and the reason is economic. Since Trump left office, CNN has lost more than 60% of its viewers. Now they're desperately trying to sell the channel because, like, it's tanking. So they have every incentive to sensationalize anything that Trump does, no matter what happens to the country in the process. So here you have a Soros-funded DA perp-walking a former president. What does this mean? What could Trump possibly be guilty of? They don't even tell you. All they tell their eager but small audience is the walls are closing in on career criminal Donald Trump. They're going to turn Trump's motorcade into OJ's Bronco, because otherwise they're going to be out of a job because nobody watches them anymore. So that's a sober assessment of what's happening in this country. We're saying, look at the plane. Look at the motorcade. Before long, outlets like CNN may be your only source of information about the trial. And that's the scary thing. Imagine a system where the person who's been charged is no longer allowed to defend himself. Oh, are you seeing the connection here? Like the parking garage attendant who was shot by a criminal, he gets arrested. Like Jose Alba, who tried to save his own life from a lunatic in his bodega, he gets arrested. The people who are the victims of the tyranny don't get to speak. CNN speaks for them. Imagine that. There are multiple reports tonight that Alvin Bragg's office will seek a gag order when Trump is arraigned. Now, that would prevent Trump, on pain of going to prison, from talking about his case in public. But CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post, all the completely filthy, corrupt liars in the media, handmaidens to power, they'll be able to say whatever they want. Because apparently their coverage doesn't influence the jury. Only the accused defending himself. Well, it's not only unconstitutional, baldly so, it's also completely immoral, and above all, in the middle of a presidential race, it's a subversion of democracy itself. The leading candidate from the other party doesn't get to talk, or you send him to prison? Wake up first. Where's Michael Beschloss on this? Where are all the august historians always telling us about, you know, the architecture of our democracy, our democratic norms? Is that a democratic norm? Silencing the other party's main presidential candidate on pain of going to jail? But they like the power, and they're going to continue to exercise it until somebody stops them. Today, the mayor of New York City, a grave disappointment. We thought would be a good mayor, hasn't been a good mayor. It's sad. So to divert attention from his own ineptitude and the hours he spends in bars at night, he's now decided to become a political celebrity. So he's now threatening to jail a member of Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, if she dares to protest Donald Trump's arraignment in a way that he doesn't like. Watch this.
While there may be some rabble-rousers thinking about coming to our city tomorrow, our message is clear and simple. Control yourselves. New York City is our home, not a playground for your misplaced anger. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is known to spread misinformation and hate speech, She stated she's coming to town. While you're in town, be on your best behavior. As always, we will not allow violence or vandalism of any kind. And if one is caught participating in any act of violence, they will be arrested and held accountable.
Uh-huh. New York City's our home. That's why we let people crap on the sidewalk and hookers turn tricks in the vestibule of ATM machines. Really, it's your home? Your home is filthy, and you're incompetent. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was known to spread hate speech. Really, what's hate speech? Well, it's speech that certain politicians hate. That's all it is. There's no hate speech prescribed in the Constitution. That's completely made up. It's a power grab, of course. Politicians didn't used to dare to talk like this because someone would call them and say, whoa, whoa, slow down. We have a Bill of Rights. But those people are hiding. And like Michael Beschloss, they're too afraid to say what's obviously true, which is we're watching the system itself collapse. So you get to just jail a former president on some fake crime for a payment he made 7 years ago that was completely legal. Once you get to do that, well, you just can go after all your political enemies with the force of law. And that's what they're doing because no one's stopping them. Today, Fox News learned that Merrick Garland's DOJ is sending subpoenas to Trump's Secret Service agents as part of their probe into his handling of classified documents. Now, if there was ever a fake crime, it's this. Everyone who's ever served in federal office, from Hillary Clinton to Joe Biden to Mike Pence, has admitted to bringing home documents in violation of the law. We have a billion classified federal documents, probably 2% of which deserve to be classified. The whole system is rotten and corrupt, and everybody knows it. But they're using it in order to stop someone from running for president. Okay. Is that okay with the defenders of democracy? Then there's the grand jury forewoman in Georgia going on MSNBC saying we're investigating Trump for saying the wrong things about the 2020 election. So they want to take out Trump, but in a democratic system, you do that by convincing people to vote against him. In a tyrannical system, you use people with guns to stop him from running. And that's honestly exactly what we're seeing. And even if you don't like Trump and have no intention of voting for him in this next cycle, you should have the right to vote for him because that's democracy. And anyone who takes that right away from you is a tyrant and is presiding over a system that is not democratic, but totalitarian, obviously. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life. From Tucker Carlson tonight.
So it looks like Jennifer Aniston is the latest celebrity to upset the woke outrage mob. And what's interesting here is that what she did to upset these people isn't using some racial slur. It's not taking on some controversial role. And it's not like some old spicy social media post resurfaced. No, no. Her crime here apparently was merely acknowledging that, yes, social justice warriors exist. Because I guess if there's one thing that progressives love to do, it's gaslight people. Now, you guys are probably best familiar with Jennifer Aniston for her role as Rachel Green on Friends. And I mean, I feel like I don't need to explain to you guys what Friends is slash was. It's Friends. Well, anyway, Jennifer Aniston has been doing some interviews in the press recently to promote her new movie on Netflix with Adam Sandler, Murder Mystery 2. I haven't seen it yet, so we're not really going to be getting into that movie. During at least one of these interviews, the issue of Friends came up, as well as how comedy has changed over the years, and this is what Jennifer Aniston had to say. The quote reads, "Now, it's a little tricky because you have to be very careful, which makes it really hard for comedians because the beauty of comedy is that we make fun of ourselves, make fun of life. In the past, you could joke about a bigot and have a laugh. That was hysterical. And it was about educating people on how ridiculous people were. And now we're not allowed to do that. There's a whole generation of people, kids, who are now going back to episodes of Friends and find them offensive," Aniston added. "There were things that were never intentional and others, well, we should have thought it through. But I don't think there was a sensitivity like there is now." Aniston concluded, "Everybody needs funny. The world needs humor. We can't take ourselves too seriously, especially in the United States. Everyone is far too divided." Now, personally, I think there is definitely a lot of truth to what Aniston is saying here. I don't think it's controversial to say that, yes, audiences, especially in some parts of the country, I'm talking about the places around the edge, yeah, they are more sensitive than they used to be. And I feel like comedians, even though they've always gotten in trouble and pushed the limits of what is acceptable, now more than ever, it seems we're always having a conversation about what comedy is appropriate and what comedy is not. But because some people just don't understand the concept of irony, what has happened is that some people were actually offended about Jennifer Aniston's remarks, noting how people are more easily offended nowadays. Now, we do have more to talk about, but I just want to say a really quick thank you to today's sponsor, Heaven's Harvest. You guys know that the supply chain has all but been destroyed lately. I mean, if you've been to the grocery store, you know how high food prices are getting. There's a good chance that food shortages are coming, guys, so now is the perfect time to be prepared. You will never regret being too prepared when and if an emergency situation does come. And so HeavensHarvest.com has high quality prepper foods, heirloom seeds, and more. And what's really cool is that Heaven's Harvest food is freeze dried, not dehydrated, meaning that it keeps a shelf life way longer than dehydrated foods, 25 years specifically. And freeze drying also allows food to retain its original shape, texture, and flavor. And unlike canning, freeze-dried foods can retain nearly 97% of their vitamins and minerals. So this is actually prepper food, emergency food that you can feel good about feeding your family. So go to HeavensHarvest.com and use code Lauren5 for a discount and to let them know that we sent you. Again, that is HeavensHarvest.com with the promo code Lauren5. The link will be down below in the description. And a big thank you to Heaven's Harvest for supporting this channel. Now, there was a lot of blowback to this comment on social media, most of it involving younger millennials and Gen Z, saying, hey, hang on a second, we're not offended. Who says we get offended? The show just sucks for other reasons. We're not offended. And this one commenter said, for real, no one ever said it was offensive. And somewhat conversely, but similarly, this other person said, I think people are more offended that there are like 3 people of color in the entire 10 seasons. Similarly, we also had hate comments like this, people saying maybe it's that Friends was never that good, and this quote implies that Friends was ever funny in the first place. Obviously, there are people out there who are trying to gaslight Jennifer Aniston, saying, oh, we're not offended by Friends. Who said it was offensive? We just think it sucks. But I mean, what these people seem to forget is that the internet exists, and over the past few years, especially Jennifer Aniston is right, Friends has gotten an increasing amount of criticism for being problematic in any number of ways. And heck, this criticism has even come from people who were involved in the show. Specifically, Lisa Kudrow, who played Phoebe, has talked about the lack of racial diversity on Friends. She said, quote, Friends creators David Crane and Marta Kaufman had no business telling stories about people of color given their own backgrounds. Well, I feel like it was a show created by 2 people who went to Brandeis, and wrote about their lives after college. And for shows especially, when it's going to be a comedy that's character-driven, you write what you know. They have no business writing stories about the experiences of being a person of color. And actually, speaking of Kaufman, one of the creators of Friends, she is now so contrite that the show wasn't diverse enough. Kaufman announced in July she was so embarrassed by and feels such guilt over the lack of diversity on Friends that she donated $4 million to create the Marta Kaufman 78 Professorship in African and African American Studies at Brandeis University. Kaufman said it was originally difficult and frustrating to have the show criticized for its lack of diverse characters, but she became critical herself after the 2020 murder of George Floyd. And if even some of the people who were involved with Friends in 2023 are now critical of its diversity, you can only imagine what left-wing publications have to say about the show. Yeah, because a quick Google search of Friends plus problematic yields articles such as Friends, 10 times the classic sitcom was problematic. When Ross voiced his disapproval of Ben playing with a doll, when Rachel hired Tag because he was attractive, when Joy was perceived as feminine, when Ross couldn't handle having a male nanny, when Monica was fat shamed, when Chandler interacted with his trans dad, when there were only 2 people of color in the show, when Chandler was paranoid of people thinking he's gay. We also have from BuzzFeed, 21 times Friends was actually really problematic. They also included things like Ross's absurd jealousy and possessiveness over Rachel when she was working with Mark, the objectification of women by the male characters, Joey's sexism going unchecked, Ross's failure to understand consent, the constant examples of fragile masculinity, and the anti-gay jokes and comments. So really, to the people online who are trying to obfuscate saying, what, no one's offended by Friends, a lot of people are offended by Friends. Apparently, it's great if you're not, but I feel like these people are the type to, yes, actually be offended by Friends, but then really claiming that they're not because, I don't know, they don't like to be called out for how ridiculous they are. It's just so insufferable. But anyway, Jennifer Aniston's comments sparked such controversy that she was actually trending for them. And not only that, but that interview she gave was actually referenced in a recent SNL monologue.
Say network sitcom, like say Friends, except instead of being about a group of friends, it's about a group of teachers. And instead of New York, it's in Philadelphia. And instead of not having black people, it does.
Now, if you know me, you may know that I have seen Friends from start to finish, all of the seasons, no fewer than I would honestly say 20 times. I know every single episode. I have memorized way too many lines of dialogue, especially considering that I'm not even good at memorizing lines of dialogue. For the longest time, Friends was what I would call my comfort show. If I was feeling sick, I would watch Friends. If I was looking for something to just watch in the background while I was doing maybe laundry or eating, I would watch Friends. To say that I'm a fan of Friends would be putting it mildly. Now, as I've gotten older, I feel like The Office has kind of taken over the role that Friends used to have, and I think that's a combination of things, including that, I mean, people aren't wrong when they say that some of the things about Friends haven't aged that well. I'm specifically referring to the laugh track there. That is just in general, you know, humor has changed. Not to say that Friends isn't funny anymore, but it's not exactly cutting-edge comedy like maybe it was at one time. No, I am open to criticism of Friends, and if you're someone who never watched it because they just didn't think it was funny, that's fine too. That's not going to upset me. Humor is subjective. But if you're someone who doesn't like Friends because you think it's problematic or somehow pushes a bigoted agenda, that I have a problem with. I mean, concerning racial diversity, the people who criticize Friends, I feel like they're the ones who think that the entire world looks like a Netflix show, which, no, it doesn't. And yeah, obviously New York has always been a diverse city, but also at the time that Friends was shot in, what, the 90s, America was like 80% white. Maybe New York wasn't, but I mean, if you're making a show for the entire country, not just people who live in New York, I don't think it's outrageous to have believed currently that, yeah, a group of six white friends could exist. I mean, there are plenty of shows, including sitcoms with all black characters or mostly black characters, and no one ever talks about how it's unrealistic that there aren't more white people around. You know what? As someone who's technically a person of color, I'm half Chinese, I never once, while watching Friends growing up, thought, man, it's too bad that this show doesn't have more Asian characters, although they did have Julie for a little bit. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Friends cast, and if a show having six lead characters who are all white really upsets you, then that sounds like a problem with your racism, not racism on the show's part. And regarding the allegations of things like homophobia or sexism or transphobia, I mean, ultimately, Friends always had a message that you should be kind to other people. Yes, jokes were had at the expense of Chandler's dad, who was trans, or at the very least a drag queen, I don't know, but ultimately the message there was that Chandler should have a relationship with him even if he does dress like a woman or believe that he is a woman. That's not a reason to cut someone out of your life. Similarly, yes, a running gag, at least in the earlier seasons of Friends, was that people would think Chandler was gay and he didn't like that, but that doesn't mean that Chandler or the show was homophobic at all. In fact, in the early episodes, a lot of attention was given to the fact that Ross's ex-wife Carol was gay and had a gay lover. And considering the time, I would say that Friends was actually really progressive about these issues. I mean, they had a gay marriage when gay marriage was not legal in the country, or at least not everywhere. Then had two moms who were portrayed as good parents. And regarding the allegations of sexism, I'm not going to pretend that the show treated its male and female characters exactly the same, because guess what? Males and females aren't the same, and the show is largely about dating, so yeah, gender dynamics did come out. It's like you have three female characters who are strong and independent, have careers, make their own choices. I mean, Rachel's a single mom working at Ralph Lauren. How much more feminist could you get? I mean, ultimately, I guess you could say that Friends isn't progressive enough by today's standards, but I would say that that's the problem with today's standards, not Friends as a show, because I still think that the 90s, that was like the sweet spot of, I don't know, social progression. It's like, yeah, you know, you can have friends of different races and sexualities and get along together, but we hadn't gone so crazy where it's like we didn't know what the meaning of woman was. Anyway, those are just my thoughts, and as always, I would love to know what you guys think. Leave your comments down below, and if you enjoyed this video, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. It means so, so much. Until next time.
The estimated hold time is now less than 96 minutes.
Corporate America has lost its dang mind. It It really has. The shrill harpies, the women who run these HR and marketing departments, they are so out of touch with just most of the people in the country who actually buy their products. They are trying to cater and pander to this tiny minority that's very vocal on the internet, and they are just absolutely killing their brand's reputations while they're at it. So Dylan Mulvaney, the less favored girl slash woman who has only been a girl for little over a year now, well, he is just collecting brand partnerships. Most recently, he has appeared in a series of advertisements for Bud Light, the beer. For some reason, the people at Bud Light think that Dylan Mulvaney is a good person to promote their product.
Hi. Impressive tarrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it. Check out my Instagram story to see how you can enjoy March Madness with Bud Light and maybe win some money, too. Love ya! Cheers! Go team! Whatever team you love, I love, too.
Thank you for your patience.
Sorry, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, please hold.
So to be clear, the geniuses over at Bud Light think that the best way to get people to want to buy their beer is by having this man who's had surgery to try to look like a woman but who still has very clear 5 o'clock shadow hold their beverage while dancing in a bathtub wearing a bra, which, by the way, Dylan, life pro tip here, that's not how women actually take baths, and it's just very strange to see someone who doesn't have breasts wear a bralette. And to anyone saying, hey, Lauren, I think you just got fooled by some April Fool's prank, I doubt Bud actually tried to partner with this person. No, this is painfully real. So real, in fact, that on his social media, Dylan also posted this image showing a personalized can with his face on it. In the caption, this wasn't on my bingo board, but it's now my most prized possession, hashtag Bud Light partner. So obviously, in light of them just bowing down to the crazy trans agenda, I will advise all of you to stop buying Bud Light. But the thing is, I don't know who at this point is even buying Bud Light at all. Who is left to boycott this brand? Who is still supporting this beverage? I don't understand. And while I would love to say that Bud Light is an anomaly here, sadly, they are not. There is a growing list of companies out there who are eager to get on Dylan's social media feed in order to prove to the world how accepting and progressive they are. We're going to be looking at some of the worst contenders, brands who, if I were you, I would no longer support with my dollars. But first, I do want to say a quick thank you to a brand you should support with your dollars, today's sponsor, Patriot Gold. So have you been keeping up with the big headlines this year? BlackRock has warned U.S. investors to prepare for a recession unlike any other, while Bank of America says that gold should be a mainstay investment for the next 3 years. And you see, history has proven that the only real way the Fed has to combat inflation is with a recession. And that is why for so many people, they are looking into precious metals, silver, and gold. Right now, over 80% of retirees are concerned about inflation and very concerned about the stock market. And in 2008, the stock market and housing market crashed. Meanwhile, gold went from $800 an ounce to $1,600 over the next 2.5 years. And you see, big banks and billionaires currently agree on two things. Number one, that we are heading toward a recession. And number two, that investors investors would be smart to buy gold. Right now, the Patriot Gold Group is introducing the 2023 Recession Protection No Fee for Life IRA. So call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. So give them a call at 888-270-9223 and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Again, that is Patriot Gold Group with the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may be eligible for this No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Again, call 888-270-9223 for a free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer, has been for 6 years in a row. And once more, a big thank you to Patriot Gold Group for supporting these videos. Now, as someone who is in the influencer business, even though I would prefer not to think of it that way, I like to think of myself as just a, you know, current events commentator, but I guess that is, you know, that is being a social media influencer in some respects. But let me tell you, sponsorships aren't easy to come by because there are a lot of people out there trying to make it in this sphere. And when you get to huge nationwide international brands, brands like Bud Light, that competition for those sponsorships is even harder because those brands have so much money and just everybody basically wants to work for them. And the hard truth of the matter is that those brands try really hard not to do anything controversial. So much so that people like me, people like Candace Owens, we would very much be deemed too controversial for those brands to work with based on things we have said on the internet. And those brands, you know, don't want to start some kind of social media boycott by appearing to sign off on our views. However, that list of too controversial views clearly does not apply to the progressive belief that a woman is whoever identifies as a woman and that, hey, kids should be able to get surgeries and hormones in order to transition their genders, because that's exactly what Dylan Mulvaney stands for. And it seems like, I don't know, most huge brands out there are absolutely okay with that. As I mentioned, it's not just Bud Light that's wanting to work with Dylan. It's also brands like, as Ollie London has mentioned, Walmart, Ulla Henriksen, a skincare brand, KitchenAid, Aritzia, clothing brand, MAC, Tampax, and Native. We are living in an era where Candace Owens is too controversial for brands like Walmart. Dylan Mulvaney, who is a man that always carries tampons around because reasons, that is not too controversial. In fact, that's actually good. That's brand friendly. That's the advertising power we want. Ladies, if you are not paying attention as to how we are being erased, then you need to be. Dylan has been a woman for just over a year now, but already he's been to the White House, and not just that, but Kamala Harris herself, the vice president, actually congratulated him on this year of being a woman. Vice President Kamala Harris has written a heartfelt letter of gratitude to trans-identified celebrity Dylan Mulvaney, according to a photograph shared on the TikTok star's Instagram page. The letter addressed to Miss Dylan Mulvaney opens with Harris expressing her warmest greetings as Mulvaney celebrated 365 days of living authentically. And if the progressive left's abandonment of actual women for trans women isn't evident enough yet, then check this out. According to the Independent Women's Forum, the University of Pittsburgh recently allocated a reported $26,000 to host trans activist Dylan Mulvaney, but petitioned to cancel an event featuring women's rights activist Riley Gaines. You see, as an actual woman, I've got to say, Dylan Mulvaney doesn't represent me. And some people might say, oh, well, Dylan's just trying to live his life. Why not let him? It's like, okay, fine, I guess. He could do whatever he wants. Obviously, I don't have the power or interest to stop him if he's not affecting me. But this is affecting me. This is affecting me directly. This is affecting all women to the point that, ladies, honestly, I would not be surprised if within the next 5 years, it actually becomes almost rare to see an actual real woman modeling things like women's clothing.
It all started with the first day of spring. I am at Kate Spade, New York to find the perfect spring outfit. Let's go! Kate Spade, New York is a staple in my wardrobe, and I think I absolutely need to have this as my spring bag. The mini bags are in. They're in. Let's go. You know I love pink, and I think the bag will go great with this. Let's try her on. You can always use another pair of heels, right? Here's the full fit check. I love a puffy sleeve, and I added some jewelry because more is always more. And honestly, I think I'm going to wear this out of the store. So happy spring. I love ya. I love you, Kate Spade, New York.
Ladies, gentlemen, we need to stop supporting brands that hate us. And here's the thing. The reason why these brands feel so comfortable working with Dylan Mulvaney but would never work with someone like Matt Walsh is because, frankly, the left is just louder than the right is. These companies know that they can work with whatever weird progressive activists that they want, and the right won't really say anything because we're busy living our lives, we have jobs, we have better things to do. But meanwhile, progressive activists will throw a hissy fit and change.org petition over something as small as, I don't know, a corporate account liking a tweet by someone who follows Trump. Basically, we need to let these brands know that there is a cost to insulting their conservative customers and conservative values. And it starts with not just not buying their products, but also raising a fuss about it. Bombard their social media accounts. Let them know that there are people out there who don't take kindly to Dylan Mulvaney being the face of their brand. That's all I have to say for now. And as always, if you guys enjoyed this video, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. It helps me out so much. Till next time.
All right, Martha, Jake Gibson is the Department of Justice producer. Jake, what can you tell us about the charges in the indictment?
So 34 charges. They're felony charges for falsifying business records in New York. And then also within that, using those records to help suppress a story that may have done damage to his campaign. Those are the charges, 34 of them. Mr. Trump walked in, former President Trump walked in. He seemed to have a bit of a swagger. He looked stoic. He looked stone-faced. He pled not guilty, said not guilty. At some point, the prosecution brought up all of the social media posts that he has put out recently, including the one where he's holding a bat next to D.A. Bragg. And the prosecution said this is you know, could be looked at as inciting violence, and they wanted Judge Merchan to, it seemed like they wanted him to give a gag order. Justice Merchan said that no, he wouldn't give a gag order, but he said to Mr. Trump and to his attorneys, I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to see, the next time that I see something like this, I might have a different idea about what I should do. His attorney said that, look, this case has been, they've been investigating this for 3 years. There's been selective leaks that are harming former President Trump, and it's unthinkable that he wouldn't be allowed to defend himself. That is their way of justifying his posts. The judge said that he wasn't sure that justified, in, you know, if he was inciting violence, right? Later, the prosecution also said that there was a conflict of interest with defense attorney Tacopino, that they just received a letter from Stormy Daniels' lawyer in wherein they say that he had communications with her, and that's a conflict of interest. Tacopino said that no, that he had never met with her, had never spoken with her, that she called his office looking to hire him, spoke to a paralegal, but he never took her off, you know, he never took her as a client, so that shouldn't be a conflict of interest. Very interestingly, the prosecution wants this to go to trial in January of 2024. And you know what else is in January of 2024? Is primary season for the presidential election. Former President Trump's team didn't want anything to do with that. They want to push it further out. However, the judge said, I would like to move expeditiously. There will be motions on both sides. Defense motions will come next, and then the prosecution will have a response. On December 4th, there will be another hearing here, where the judge will give his decision on the motions, okay? So that's the next time we have something here, December 4th, in person. The President Trump's team, you know, hinted that maybe they didn't want him to come to that hearing. And the judge said it's good if he would come to these hearings. You know, a jury eventually, if there is a trial, would want to see him. And the defense said, right, but think of all the money that was spent with this today, and how much, you know, the burden this put on the city. And the judge seemed to agree that it was a serious burden, but that he still thought that Mr. Trump should attend. And he denied their request that maybe if he didn't want to attend the December 4th hearing. He said maybe in the future we could let him out of one, but at this, I'd like to see him at the December 4th hearing.
A ton of information. Martha, just, you can come in at any moment with a question, but I just want to kind of wrap up what you were saying. So the former president will have his next hearing on December 4th here in Manhattan.
Correct.
There was the talk of the gag order. Judge Merchan was not interested in doing that because he did not think that it was an incitement of violence,
president. What he said is, I'm requesting that you don't do that. It's a request at this point. It's not an order. It's a request.
That he stay off of social media.
That he not do things that might be looked as inciting some type of violence, or, you know, or getting, you know, having something that would end up with a protest where someone could be hurt. And he said, Now, I'm not going to impose a gag order now. However, if, you know, the prosecution showed the judge the post. They gave him printed copies of them, and he was looking at them, and he said, and if I see these, you know, if I get this passed to me again, I might have a different idea about this. And this is how it works in a lot of trials. You know, the judges consider a gag order to be a pretty severe order. And so he didn't, it seemed like, want to go out there already on the first hearing on arraignment day and go that far.
And it seems like this had to deal with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. Is that right?
I didn't hear the name Karen McDougal, but we did hear the name Stormy Daniels. We definitely, her name was mentioned in court today.
Okay. Martha.
Yeah, Brian, quick question. So that's significant, I think, because one of the things that we were looking to potentially intensify this presentation of this indictment was that we heard David Pecker involved in two hearings, and he came back at the end and thought maybe the Karen McDougal's part of the story was going to kind of put some more substance behind this, but it sounds like that's not the case. And so the judge says he wants to move, you know, fairly quickly, and the next hearing isn't until December 4th. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, no, you heard that right. So he wants to move fairly quickly, but the next hearing isn't until December 4th.
Because there will be motions. I think it's September 19th. In August, there are the motions that the defense can file, and then the prosecution has to respond by September 19th, and then the next hearing would be December 4th. And it is quite a ways off, yes.
Did the defense show their cards on the types of motions that they're going to file? For instance, change of venue, was there a motion to dismiss the case outright?
Change of venue was not mentioned. However, when the prosecution laid out, or they talked about a little bit of the background of the charges and launched into a bit of an attack about Mr. Trump's, what he's been saying over social media, the defense attorney got up and said, I didn't know we were doing opening statements today. I didn't know, you know, he seemed to be taking a jab at them that I thought this was an arraignment day, not, you know, you're going to give us your whole opening statement.
Okay, so defense didn't want to show their cards clearly and get into that kind of detail at this time. Martha, you had mentioned David Pecker. We have a press release, and I'm sure you have it as well, from the DA Alvin Bragg that goes over some of these counts, and it does talk about AMI, which was American Media Company. David Pecker was the witness who was brought into the grand jury, correct? And he testified twice, as you mentioned, Martha, and he was accused of catch for kill. Essentially, he was the person who was the intermediary between him and Michael Cohen, the former president's personal attorney, to pay Karen McDougal $150,000. And that instance of the $150,000 payment is mentioned in the DA's press release describing these payments and describing these felony counts. So it does appear that Karen McDougal is at the basis of this, and David Pecker, who was interviewed multiple times by the grand jury, as well as Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. Jake, do you have anything else you'd like to offer us before we send it back over to Martha?
I think it's worth noting. I think I brought it up already, but I may not have, that former President Trump definitely glared at the DA Bragg when he left. He seemed to get up, look around the room, you know, because he walked in. Trump was the last one to walk in the hearing, and this was pretty intense. I mean, it's not a huge room, but there's probably 50 reporters in there. There were 15, 20, 25 law enforcement officials that were on the end of each row. So we couldn't really see that well because they're standing up in front, so we can't really see up there. What you really saw well was him enter the room and leave the room. There was Secret Service agents in there. There were the court police. There were just a lot of police in there, and they were very strict with the press. You know, we will kick you out of here. We see a phone, we'll kick you out. People would try to sit up a little bit to look, sit down. I think this was a very serious, you know, it was very intense in there.
What was the judge's tone? Did he admonish the former president or his lawyers?
No, Judge Merchant was very measured. You know, he did not show his, you know, he did not seem to have any beef with President Trump. You know, I think he went out of his way to make sure that he was showing everyone that he could be very fair about this.
Jake Gibson, thank you. Incredible job in there. Thank you. Martha, back to you.
Yeah, fascinating. Thank you so much, Jake Gibson.
It doesn't matter that Donald Trump is going up in the polls. It doesn't matter that the vast majority of people on the street and every person who's independently watching this, including people from around the world, there have now been presidents of Mexico, presidents of European countries like Hungary coming out to defend Donald Trump. It doesn't matter that America has now lost all credibility on the international stage. All of it. It's gone. We invaded Iraq. We invaded Afghanistan. We staged color revolutions all around the world because dictators don't like democracy and they lock up political prisoners. What are you doing right now in the States? What's happening currently? The moral high ground is evaporated. It will never come back. The moral high ground is now gone forever. So then what's left? We're as bad as the baddies, they told us. They've now turned the apparatus on Americans, as all Bolsheviks do, as all communists do. They've turned the apparatus of war and of persecution on their own nation in order to preserve their fragile political power. We have no moral high ground anymore. We're not spreading democracy around the world. That era is done. And it's been a very sad, embarrassing collapse. What the hell has happened to this country? God bless Donald Trump for fighting. We're standing with him. We wish that other Republicans would do the same. It's time for strength and not weakness. Now.
What's going on, Facebook?
The fact that economies all over the world use the U.S. dollar as an intermediary. Joe, stop me as the ombudsman. It doesn't make sense. Here's what that means.
Will
if
do.
Guyana wants to buy something from Djibouti, they're not interested in Djibouti's currency. Djibouti needs to trade their currency to dollars, and they'll take the dollars first before they convert them back to the local currency. They're not interested in the Djibouti currency. It's too unstable. That makes the dollar the world's reserve currency. Why? Because it's safe. It's safe, Dan. Our economy's in shambles. Have you looked at the rest of the world? There you go. Why does that benefit us? Well, it's kind of arguable sometimes that it does, but most would tell you that it's essentially a free loan. It keeps interest rates low in the United States, as people around the world suck up U.S. dollars for just about every transaction. You get it? So this was kind of a big deal. Hat tip Tom Elliott, by the way. Here is William Ruto, the president of Kenya. Ruto. I'm thinking of Christopher Ruto. This is not Christopher Ruto. This is William Ruto, president of Kenya. Here he is saying the quiet part out loud that, hey, does he know something, by the way? You should probably get ready because something big economically is going to happen. You should probably get rid of your dollars. That sounds like a big deal. Check this out.
For the people who work numbers, I am giving you free advice that those of you who are holding dollars, you surely might go into losses. You better do what you must do because this market is going to be different in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it is. Gee, Joe, that's kind of good to know. You got a financial advisor? That's interesting. You think he's just like making that up? He's just throwing that out there? He's basically announcing the Kenyan president that, listen, there's something happening with this coordinated global attack on the U.S. dollar. He'd probably get rid of those. Oh, that's interesting. That's fascinating. Why would that be happening? By the way, thank you to Chris, the CEO of Rumble. He gave $500, which is crazy. I'm going to take that money, and I'm going to buy a bottle of Opus for you. We'll have something to drink. Come on down. Thank you, guys. And to everyone else who's doing a tip, that's nice of you. Unnecessary, but I appreciate it. That's super nice of you. Folks, this is a coordinated attack on the U.S. dollar. There's no more free loans coming. Now, is it going to be a mass evacuation of the dollar around the world? No, let's not be ridiculous. However, if you look at the evidence, because that's what we do here, there is clearly a coordinated attack right now on the U.S. economy and on the dollar to make interest rates go up. Because if the dollar is not the reserve currency and people start waking up that we have $30 trillion in debt, interest rates are going to be through the roof. Dan, Joe, I'm call me crazy, but wasn't rising interest rates just the cause of some of those bank collapses? That it must be a coincidence. It's almost as if countries around the world who hate the United States are like, hey, if we stop using the dollar, interest rates will go up there and we'll make their banks collapse. Holy, that sounds like a plan.
It's just too much.
Now, listen, I'm just a dumb former federal agent. What the hell do I know? Joe's just a dopey radio producer. Gee's just a dopey video. What the hell do us three know? We don't know anything. We're like a bunch of freaking dopey cavemen. What do we know? But I read it somewhere that high interest rates and maturity mismatches are really bad for banks holding long-term assets. And I'm thinking maybe the smarter people around the world who don't like us maybe have figured that out. Show us the proof. Okay, I'll do just that. China and Brazil reach a renminbi-based trade deal. Oh, really? That's a massive South American economy and the world's second largest. They said, we're not going to do our deals in U.S. dollars. We're going to trade in the Chinese currency. Ah, Dan, that's just one example of two major economies. Okay, let's show you another one. China's yuan replaces the dollar as the most traded currency in Russia. Again, in some limited circles, they call that evidence. You ever heard of that term? Ah, Dan, China, Russia, Brazil, no big deal. It's not like one of the world's largest democracies, India or anything. Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's so crazy. Exclusive. Indian refiners pay traders in dirhams for Russian oil. It's almost like the Kenyan president knows something. India, China, Russia. Wow, now we're talking about trillions of dollars. Be really crazy if the Saudis were. Look, they are involved. Look at that. Wow, Saudi agrees to partner with China-led security blocks. So strange. At least it's not smaller countries, guys, you know, like Malaysia and stuff. Oh, no. Okay. It's like he knew I was going to say that. India announces trade settlement in rupees with Malaysia, giving blow to dollar hegemony. Oh, wait, what Geese showing me, and I didn't see this one either. Saudi Aramco boosts China investment with two refinery deals. What's the asset traded most in dollars? Oh, oil? I mean, okay, at least it's not like these oil cartels, OPEC or anything, are coordinating to, one, destroy interest rates in the United States by wiping out the U.S. dollar. But you know what would really do damage to interest rates in the United States? Inflation. And what better way, inflation, prices going up, to make prices go up, Joe, especially for gas, which everyone uses. Maybe restrict the production. That would probably be a good part of your economic warfare plan. Look at that. Wow. Zero hedge. Oil surges in early trading after OPEC presents a challenging unipolar world production cut. Possibly go wrong, he says. Gee, I don't know. Everything? Kenyan president clearly knows something. Folks, there's an open economic war in the United States going on right now. And if the Democrats could take their craniums and surgically remove them from their asses and pay attention for a minute, they'd see we are under nuclear and economic threat from people who want to kill us while they're focused on Stormy freaking Daniels. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/. Brett Baer, who does news at Fox, probably heard of him, tweeted out yesterday that Fox News is being told by their sources that multiple Secret Service agents connected to former President Trump have been subpoenaed and are expected to testify before the D.C. grand jury likely on Friday. The appearances are related to the special counsel Jack Smith's probe into the handling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. I didn't know this. Joe, this caught me off guard. See, man, I was under the mistaken belief that these guys were special agents assigned to protect the president, not in fact spies. Now, so you understand my position, it's as clear as scotch tape. I'm not suggesting if the Secret Service witnesses a crime, they should cover it up. I don't give a damn who it is. However, I am suggesting to you that asking the Secret Service to testify in front of a grand jury, multiple agents, when you likely don't need them, that I'm pretty sure about, and doing it simply because you're engaged in a political prosecution while Joe Biden, the sitting president, is accused of doing the same crime, but far worse, squirreling away classified documents and potentially selling the information to his family, to foreign governments. That sounds like a big deal. I'm telling you, that's not a crime. That's politics.
Holy.
You're darn right. So we want to bring the Secret Service into this now? We want to make them witnesses? You thought this through? Because I've got a few people who've reached out to me. Oh, yeah. I could read his stuff right now. They'd like to be subpoenaed, too. Joe, one of them, let's just say again, we're doing a what if. Kind of did this on the radio yesterday, but what if. Let's just say one of these guys who's interested in getting subpoenaed. I mean, now we can just talk about whatever we've seen, regardless of how it impacts the nation or anything like that, or the future security of the President of the United States. One of the guys, let's just say, may have looked at Hillary Clinton's server and may have warned WCD, the William Clinton detail. Why WCD? Joe, why not CPD, Clinton Protective Detail? Because it's already taken, Carter Protective Detail. So they call it WCD. So this guy was asked by members of the William Clinton detail because of very specific expertise, let's say, hey, we're having a problem with our server. This is when Hillary Clinton was running a private email server because she had no government email, even though she was a government employee as Secretary of State. So wouldn't it be crazy if this guy was asked to look at that and told the William Clinton detail people, said, hey, listen, we got a real problem. You better inform the staff. It appears, have I ever told you this story? Probably not, because it's just a what if. That you guys have this thing infected with foreign Trojans and other things, and people are watching what's going on in email. Wouldn't it be weird if he said that? Crazy. Wouldn't it be even crazier? Have you ever heard this? Joe, now I know you may have heard this, because we always do what ifs, Joe and I. We're like, hey, man, what if this happened, right? But wouldn't it be even crazier if they ignored him and did nothing about it? And wouldn't it be even crazier if he told them, hey, you've got an even bigger problem. You guys are using, wait for this one. You're not going to believe this one. You're going to be like, no way. What if he told them, you guys are using unsecured Wi-Fi too? Are you crazy?
You got to be.
Maybe I'm just making it up. I mean, there's one way to find out, of course.
Uh-huh.
I mean, someone in the, I mean, what could that way be, Joe? I mean, they could issue some subpoenas and maybe some of these guys, you know, maybe these guys would talk. I'm just going to throw that out. I mean, it's open season now, right? To all those press people out there, again, not the liberal media. I know you actually prefer the police state, so you'll bury this story as soon as you can. But the people in the conservative media, maybe that's the kind of thing you want to look into. To Republicans up on the Hill. I know what you're saying. Oh, we don't want to dredge up Hillary again. Really? They want to dredge up Donald Trump. Been out of office for over 2 years. You still think you're playing nice cutesy time? They want to weaponize government. I'm telling you about a potential actual crime. Unsecured Wi-Fi? Really? What is this, the local library? Joe, the answer is no, it's not, because they even have secured Wi-Fi. Doesn't sound like the Clintons did. No. No?
That's like Gilligan's Island.
Darn right. I have a few more questions now that the Secret Service is open season and anybody can get subpoenas for anything. You know, Bill Clinton took a lot of trips, you know, on planes and stuff like that. A lot of agents got temped to the WCD, William Clinton detail. You know, some of them may have been on planes while Bill Clinton was on a plane with that guy. What was his name? Yeah, guy killed himself or... Yeah, so you totally. I mean, by the way, I did not kill myself, okay? Just look, can we get that, Joe? Can you flag that, please?
Oh, sure. Hey, got it? The date?
11:30, oh. April 4th,
flag
a.m.
it.
Eastern time. Thank you.
Flag it.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, we got
it. I did not kill myself. It would be really interesting if those guys got subpoenas, too, if they were on flights with Bill Clinton and Epstein and were asked what happened. I'm just saying, I mean, if it's open season on these guys, and the Secret Service are now witnesses. Maybe some guys saw some stuff they didn't like. Maybe one of them, maybe one of them got sent home because he spoke to the boss of that detail, William Clinton detail, that is. Otherwise known as Bill for you liberals out there. They're like, who's that, man? I don't know. Idiots. Talking about Bill Clinton, you dopes. One of them, maybe, just maybe, got sent home because he went to the boss and said, hey, I'm not really comfortable with some of the stuff happening on this plane. That just may have happened. He'd probably talk if you subpoenaed him, too. Now, I just want to put this out there because someone responded back on Twitter yesterday. And I got a little bit offended, but that's okay. I tell you when I'm offended. You can say, like, toughen up or whatever. That's your opinion. But someone said, well, why don't you put it all out there? Because I don't talk about things I don't know. This, I'm talking about what I do know. People who may have told me stuff about what happened. I wasn't there. I wasn't on the Clinton detail, and I was not on that plane. I'm not going to tell you about something I didn't witness. I hope that makes sense. I'm telling you, when they're free and they maybe say get a subpoena, because some of them I know might want to talk, then they'll give you the details. I'm telling you that's out there. And just maybe if Republicans in Congress would grow a pair, maybe they'd find out what it's really about. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it. The New York Post is reporting that the Trump team is worried that the judge in this case may actually put a gag order in. You can read these pieces in my newsletter. A gag order. Can you imagine this? A gag order in a case. Donald Trump, arrested by the police state, persecuted by the police state, runs against the police state, and a judge tells him you can't talk about it? Now, folks, if there was ever a First Amendment violation, that would be it. And the only good news is you should actually hope the judge does this, because this will go all the way to the Supreme Court and will overturn speech and speech rules and regulations and laws in the United States forever. There's simply no way that'll stand. That a police state prosecutor funded by a group, funded by a left-wing activist, George Soros, with clear connections to the Obama-Biden administration, can put the guy in jail, and then he's not allowed to speak about it, while the left-wing media says, hey, these are conspiracy theorists, Dan Bongino and others, trying to do what? You all know what they're trying to do. Wink and nod to Twitter and others. Hey, you better get them off Twitter and social media. They can't talk about it either. The narrative's out of control. Here's the Huffington Post. Here they proving again. It doesn't matter how many times. Guys, please. Joe, I want you to go back. Yeah. It's going to be a very easy assignment up there with the Joy Reid. I know you're on that, trying to find Joy Reid, the author of her homophobic blog. You haven't
internally.
Nothing on that, right? No update on that?
No, not a damn thing.
He's just lazy. He doesn't want to do it. That's why. He's trying to find Joy. He don't want to do it. He don't want to do it. So here's another one. I'm kidding. Here's an easy one for you. I want you to go back, Guy, you and Joe today. I want you to spend the entire day. Show wraps at 12 noon Eastern. Sorry to put this on your back. I want you to find every show where we called for violence and political violence for attacking our enemies. Okay, I'll expect a full report tomorrow. It's not. Joey beat you. He said it's a zero. Joe, do me a favor. Joe, take your time. I think Guy rushed it. I'll expect a report tomorrow where we did that, okay?
I'm going to call Guy after the show.
Oh, yeah. You're going to call Guy. Okay, good. Now, it's going to be a very easy assignment because I'm sure it never happened. Matter of fact, what a hard assignment, and I think you can both agree, would be to go back and document all the episodes where we explicitly state the dangers of redline political violence in the United States. That would be a long show, and I wouldn't do that to Joe or Guy because they work hard. And, right, guys, it would probably be close to 1,000 times we've said that. So I wouldn't do that to them. But expecting the Huffington Post and Matt Shuham and these absolute douche canoes to do any homework like that at all is expecting them to do journalism, which they can't do. So what they want to do is they want to lock up their political opponents, funded by left-wingers, again, with connections to the White House, who are running against the same people they're locking up. And they want to make sure that you don't talk about it. And the best way to do it is to say, it could be inciting violence. Really? By explicitly stating, please do not engage in violence. Amazing how that happens. Here's Matt Shuham, absolute ass clown at the Huffington Post. Again, if Matt actually went back and quoted what I said, he'd be humiliated. And because I don't have time to waste for Joe and Guy, I'm serious. I could play you in a whole hot take of me talking about how bad that would be if that happened. You've heard it. I don't need to waste your time because of this total a-hole. Now, talking about the police state, folks, is agitation. You know, it's the agitation was not confined to Tucker Carlson's show, quotes Jesse Waters. Jesse Waters, who said, people better be careful. You should be careful, always, because you've got Antifa and BLM following you around all over the place, beating the crap out of people. Oh, look, we've got video of that coming up. It was so weird. And Matt Shuham, douche canoe, notes, Dan Bongino, another network personality, said Americans were living in a police state. And he recalled the time he spent in a country that had troubles with the democratic process. Bongino said a military official in that country told him, he who has the guns has the power. That's true. Little did I know that was going to be where we are now. If you've got the guns, you've got the power. Obviously, talking about the Biden administration, the FBI, and the DOJ. What the? Is this guy stupid? How freaking stupid or malicious do you have to be to turn the argument on its head? Now, keep in mind, mention we live in a police state. Repeatedly tell people the right way to assemble and protest to affect political change. Ehud Barak gave us the lesson. Left winger last week played the video. 8% of people show up in the streets. Don't leave. Peacefully protest. You'll affect change. Doesn't matter. You're agitating for violence. Despite the fact that you're warning people about the effects of violence, especially when the government does it. But not when you're a lefty. You're a lefty on MSNBC. You can say whatever you want. Daily Caller. We're in a cold civil war, Princeton professor predicts. Predicts racial and class conflict after Trump indictment. Plow ahead. Ignore Matt Shuham. I mean, really. Mr. and Mrs. Shuham, I apologize for having spawned this loser. I'm really sorry for you. Ignore these idiots. Ignore these Soros talk is anti-Semitic stuff. Plow straight ahead. You understand this is panic on their part, not on ours. The facts are on our side. The police state is freaking out. It's right in front of you. They're running from Soros. They're running away from Twinkies up in New York. They know they've jumped the shark, and they don't know what to do. It's the only reason you're seeing this message panic. Wow, straight ahead. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com.